Text for this morning, congregation, is verse 16. Honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Some years ago, brothers and sisters in Christ, I was speaking to a trainee teacher who had just begun a prac term at a local high school. And she related to me some of the things that some of the students in her class had said to her that week. I think I'm a fairly broad-minded person and I've seen some of the rough edges of life, but I was shocked, congregation, that children just into their teens could talk that way to a teacher. And I said to her, it's not hard to guess what kind of families students like that come from. More recently, I was speaking to Rick Weersma's sister, who's involved in youth work in our city. And she was telling me some of the stories of some of the kids and the trouble they get into and some of the difficulty she has in trying to help those dysfunctional kids. And again, I suggested to her that her experiences might well be the result of some family issues. We in our own family have some dealings with a local policewoman, and the story is the same. Kids who are not even teenagers yet, who are out of control and who have no respect for the police. And for her congregation, that's almost a weekly problem. Many of them end up in a children's court. And I wonder, would I be wrong this morning if I suggested that it would perhaps be very telling if we looked at their families? We're living in an age of blatant disregard for authority. We're also living in an age of unparalleled breakdown in family life. And my question is this morning, may we connect those two things, dysfunctional homes and disrespect for authority? I believe, congregation, that this morning as we examine the fifth commandment, it will show us that connection very, very clearly. This fifth commandment this morning that we're examining is actually the first commandment of what we call the second table of the law. And so you've got the first four that govern our relationship with God, and then you have the next six that govern our relationship with our neighbours. And this command we're looking at this morning is the first in this second category, commands that have to do with our neighbours and our relationships with them. And this commandment this morning, congregation, really makes an excellent transition from the things of God to the things of our neighbours. I want to show you that in two ways. First of all, you know and I know that neighbourliness begins at home. And our nearest neighbours and our dearest neighbours and our first neighbours are our parents. And so right away we have a connection between what happens in family life and what happens in society. If a child will not show respect in the home, he won't show it in society. And if he's not taught respect at home, he won't learn to respect his teachers or the police or anyone else in authority. The early church father, Augustine, summed it up well. He asked the question, if anyone fails to honour his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And so breaking this command leads very easily to breaking the subsequent commandments as well. It's a good transition. Secondly, congregation, this commandment forms an excellent transition because people must also honour God. And the place where submission to God begins is in the home. It's in the home that children are first taught that there is a God in heaven, a God to whom we must give account. And when children are not trained to honour their parents, then it will be much, much more difficult for them to also learn to honour God. It all begins at home. Al Mohler, in the book that I've been reading in preparation for this series on the Ten Commandments, his book Words from the Fire, puts it well. He said, the Christian home is to be the first school and the first church and the first government. In other words, the whole package of authority really begins on the home front. That's why the Heidelberg Catechism, and we'll read it a little later, applies this commandment to honouring all authority, reflecting Romans 13. Let me show you, congregation, another way in which this is a very fitting transitional commandment, that God deliberately puts it between those commandments that are about Him and the commandments that are about our neighbours. We see that in the word honour. That word honour in the Hebrew language has the idea of heaviness. And so in the Hebrew, the word glory and the word honour had the meaning of weightiness. In other words, those were not light matters. And when you and I honour something, then we are giving something its due weight. And over again in the Bible, we're called to give glory and honour to God. In other words, you must give God's cause and His kingdom due weight in your life. You're to honour Him. Now the Lord says to us this morning in this command, you must also honour your father and mother, so you must also give your dad and mum due weight in your life. Highlights, congregation, another dimension of this commandment. Presbyterian theologian Charles Hodge says parents represent God. That's a pretty scary sort of concept, isn't it? You and I as parents represent God. Shows us the heaviness of this matter and why honour is due to parents. Let me just read the full quote from Hodge to you. Parents stand in their relationship to their dependent children as, so to speak, in the place of God. You see, congregation, why the vows that we made for bringing up our children at baptism were so important. In your relationship with your children, you are, as it were, in the place of Almighty God. And that's why your relationship with them will, to a large degree, shape their relationship with God, humanly speaking. Your children will either come under your authority, or they will rebel against your authority. And their response will play a large part in how they respond to God's authority. This morning there is one particular aspect of honour that we need to think about. In Ephesians 6, Paul takes this commandment and he applies it both to children and to parents. He applies it first to children. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so Paul interprets this commandment in terms of obedience. When it comes to children in the home, obedience is important. Disobedience to mum and dad is dishonouring to them. And we find that obedience strongly stressed in the scripture over and over. Let me just quote a verse from Proverbs 30, verse 17. Very powerful saying. It says, "The eye that mocks a father and that scorns obedience to a mother will be pecked by the ravens." Pretty colourful language, isn't it? But you hear what it's saying, teenagers. Even when you roll your eyes at your parents, you're in trouble, to say nothing of disobedience. Now, okay, we know there are limits to obedience. Your parents may not ask you to do something that goes against God and disobeys Him. But hey, which Christian parent would want to do that anyway? You know, one of the worst curses in the scriptures is a curse against rebellious children. Exodus 20 has a couple of examples. Please go to Exodus 21 and have a look at a couple of very extreme examples from Exodus 21. First one is in verse 15. Anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be what? Put to death. Verse 17. Anyone who curses his father or mother must be what? Put to death. Both instances, the death penalty is pronounced against this rebelliousness of children against their parents. You know, congregation, it's just as well we don't have that death penalty anymore today, because there would be lots and lots of executions around Toowoomba every day of the week. In Deuteronomy 21, there is an even more outstanding example, perhaps, where Moses gives regulations for a stubborn and rebellious son and how he's to be dealt with. He's to be brought to the elders of the city and they're to stone him to death. The point is, congregation, God takes obedience to parents with the utmost seriousness. He wants parents as his representatives in the family to be honoured. And we need to teach our children how to do that, how to be obedient. And we must stop back talk and disrespect before it even starts. At this point, congregation, I need to say that we have some blind spots when it comes to this commandment. Too often we think that this is a commandment just for kids. This commandment means that children must obey mum and dad as long as they're in the home. And we'll insist on their obedience, of course, at least we will until they get to the point where they're too big to put over our knee. And so this commandment is not seen as all that relevant for us as adults. Well, of course, we still want to have respect for our elderly parents, but that's not a big issue. They don't live with us anyway. But this morning we need to think about this a little further. This commandment, congregation, is not like having a kids segment in a worship service. It's not as if the Lord interrupts his dealings with the adults to have a special word with the kids, a kids talk. Now this command too is spoken to adults. You know, Jesus made that very clear on one occasion when he spoke to the Pharisees in Mark 7. And he complained about the way in which they as adults were treating their parents. They were saying, whatever you might have gained from me is dedicated to God, it's been offered to him, so you can't have it. So they refused to do anything for their parents. And Jesus chastised them for cancelling out God's command by their traditions. This fifth commandment, congregation, has huge implications. Think of the care of one's elderly parents. We live in a society today that talks about euthanasia, elderly people, they've reached their use-by date. There are children who are hugely concerned about the family inheritance being used up by nursing home funds and medical attention that's needed. We live in a culture where we don't want to be burdened by the care of elderly parents. Albert Moller has a very telling story of a heat wave that struck Europe in the summer of 2004, and I vaguely remember it. But in France that summer, 15,000 elderly people died as a result of the heat wave. 15,000. You know what was most shameful about that was that many thousands had abandoned their homes, had abandoned their families and their homes and gone on holidays. And they had declined to interrupt their holidays to check up on their aging parents. And 15,000 died. You know, congregation, at this point, this context of this commandment becomes very important. Deuteronomy, literally the second giving of the law, is all about the covenant. It's as if Moses is renewing the covenant as they stand there on the threshold of the promised land. And God is a covenant-making God who enters into partnership with his people. And that partnership with God and his people is spoken of in different ways in the Bible. Sometimes God pictures himself as the husband and Israel is the wife. More commonly, God is the father of his people. And Israel is God's child. In Exodus, God calls Israel his firstborn son. And so the point is, congregation, that the family mirrors God's covenant relationship with his people. It means we can't limit this commandment to just little children. No, this commandment reflects something of the covenant relationship. It highlights that family is in miniature what the nation is at large. This morning, if we had the time and we were to explore that more fully, then lots of things would become apparent. If the family is in miniature what the covenant community is at large, then that would imply a whole lot of things. It would imply teaching. God, as the Father, instructed his children in the nation. Parents teach their children. And the next chapter in Deuteronomy is all about that. It takes that up in detail. This would imply discipline. God repeatedly disciplined his child Israel when it rebelled. And Scripture gives instruction to us as parents as how we are to discipline our children. And yes, it includes honouring and obeying, just as Israel was called to honour and obey their God. And so the whole context of this commandment is God's covenant people. And so in a sense, congregation, God is saying to us this morning, look, covenant living begins in your home. And covenant families are to demonstrate the character of God and His relationship with His people. In fact, congregation, there are times in the Old Testament when the whole nation was called God's family, God's household. And so within that nation, there was a kind of a multi-generational concern. It wasn't just about little children obeying mum and dad. They were to respect the patriarchs, and they did. They looked back with respect to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This nation was a large intergenerational family. Today we need to think that through, congregation. We have this idea that as we raise our children, that's important until they become independent. And then at a certain point they leave home and they go and study at university, or they get work or eventually marry, and then our responsibility ceases, if not long before that. And we kind of compliment ourselves that we've done well in raising them till they left home. But you know, the biblical vision is of parents taking responsibility for their children and their grandchildren and subsequent generations. A little bit like the old saying that it takes a village to raise a child. The family is the covenant community in miniature. Today I think we've lost out, congregation, and I say it with a measure of sadness. We have nuclear families. How many of you still remember the television series The Waltons? Some of you do? Do you remember how it ended at night when they programmed, the lights went out, and then what happened? Good night, John Boy. Good night, Granddad. They all greeted each other. There were three generations living together in the one home. Our brothers and sisters, I grew up sharing a bedroom with my grandfather. And I am thankful to the Lord for that. It helped shape me to be the person I am. But today there are many families who would be horrified at the thought of doing that. Much easier to put them in a home and put them away, out of sight, out of mind. In fact, we've moved on now, even from our traditional nuclear families. We're told family is evolving. We now have families with two dads or two mums. No, family did not evolve. It is God's gift to us, and it is patterned on the covenant community. And the wonderful thing is, congregation, the church too is that community, that covenant community, the family of God, the household of God. And what a blessing when within the church we have that intergenerational activity between grandparents and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I love it when I see it, congregation, in the hall sometimes. Older people talking to younger people, younger ones chatting to older folk. It's a blessing. In Ephesians 6, Paul speaks about this commandment as the first commandment with a promise. And Paul says the promise is that it may go well with you. In other words, obedience is for your benefit. Commandment says, honour your father and mother as God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. In other words, obedience to this command has consequences. But you know, there's an implication in that, isn't there? That disobedience will also have its consequences. Again, the covenant context is very clear. In Deuteronomy, remember Israel on the threshold of the promised land, just across the Jordan, in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, and God is saying, now when you go across, if you want to enjoy long life in that land of milk and honey, then honour your parents. On the one hand, congregation, this is a promise of God's very special blessing on the obedience of His people. On the other hand, I want to say that this promise is in some ways just a very natural kind of outworking when we are obedient. Let me give you an example. Jack was riding his bicycle on the street and all of a sudden he lost control, veered into the road just as a car came, and he got collected by the car. Flipped him onto the windscreen and then over the roof, and he landed headfirst on the road. He ended up in hospital with some serious injuries. But he survived. And the reason he survived was because he was wearing a stack hat. But you know, 3 days earlier, his father had had an argument with him and disciplined him for riding his bike without his stack hat. And so Jack lived a long life on the earth because he was obedient to his father. It was a natural outworking of his obedience. For Israel's congregation, generational wisdom from God was passed on from parents to children. And as children obeyed, they would be blessed and protected as God guided them through their parents. This morning, the negative implication of the promise is also true, and the Bible often shows us what happens when this commandment is broken. And the tragedy is that so often life is shortened. The Bible highlights when it's broken and neglected that that's the consequence. And I could mention this morning a number of sad, sad stories. Do you remember the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas? Disobeyed their father, dishonored him and dishonored God, and God handed them over to the Philistine army, and they didn't live long on the earth. Sadly, Samuel's sons didn't honor their father and walk in his ways either. And then, of course, we could think of several of David's sons. Three of them were rebellious and died prematurely. And we think especially of that rebel son, Absalom. They rebelled, and so they didn't live long in the land that the Lord their God had given them. And all is said and done, congregation, I believe we can even blame the Babylonian exile on the breaking of this commandment, because the breakdown of society always begins with the breakdown in the home. Somewhere along the line, parents no longer instructed their children in the ways of the Lord. Somewhere along the line, children rebelled against the teaching of their parents. And that's where I want to come back to that crisis that we face in our day. Teachers who have nothing but disrespect from children in their class. Youth workers who have to work with kids that don't want to be helped. Police who cop abuse from kids who aren't even teenagers yet. And I believe we're seeing, congregation, in this commandment this morning that children rebelled against the teachings of their parents, and we're reaping the consequences. This morning it's very easy for us to find fault with the society in which we live. But I want to say, congregation, that the reality is that all of us fall short. This morning I want to confess that I'm deeply conscious that in my parenting I didn't always get it right, and I still don't. I want to confess that in my role as a father, I fall very short of the example that my Heavenly Father gives as my father. I know that as a child, I wasn't always that good at honoring my own parents either. And so that makes it a little problematic for me this morning to be smug about the failures of our society. I've got my own failings when it comes to this commandment, and so have you, either as a parent or as a child. And congregation, that's just the thing about the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Over and over and over again, it shows us our need of Jesus. And so also this fifth commandment this morning drives us to the cross. It drives us to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and for renewal and for empowerment. And that's the wonderful thing this morning about the gospel and the grace of God. At the end of the day, I find not only forgiveness for my failure as a child and for my failure as a parent, but I also find that God's grace overrides my weaknesses. And so when I mess it up, I can turn to God and God turns it into good. I want to encourage you this morning to tackle this commandment as gospel people who are empowered by God's Spirit. And it's in that way and in that way alone that we can make a difference. May God, by His grace, enable us to raise another generation of faithful covenant people. Kids who will stand out in our schools and in our society. Boys and girls who will show respect not only to mum and dad, but also to their teachers and to the police. Young people who will become strong and committed members of society and of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.